We're certainly thankful to see each one here this evening. I'll say this, what a difference a week makes, doesn't it? Last week it was extremely cold, and this week you might have had to turn on the air conditioning. So just a difference in a week shows us how quickly things can change. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight, continuing our study, looking at giving and different things, and we're trying to look at things from different aspects, and I'm almost having to, I guess you could say, pull the reins on myself a little bit sometimes, because there's times when I say, oh, I could throw this scripture in, that scripture in, and yet I know there's times that we need to break things down and deal with other scriptures at a different time, and we're just going to try to stay here in chapter 12 tonight instead of jumping around a few different places, and I pray that it could be a blessing to us. Before we begin, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we deserve. And Father, as we study your word, help us to learn from it. Help us to take it to heart that we could be doers of your word and not hearers only. And Father, there's so many aspects of your word, and as we study it, we pray that we would not overlook any point. But Father, that we'd be doers of all things that you would have us to do, that we could be people that shows forth Christ in our life, that we could bring glory and honor to your name, and Father, most importantly, points souls to your Son while there's time and opportunity for them to be saved. And Father, we pray that you remember the prayer request. You know each need. Father, you even know the unspoken request. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's pick up in verse 13. Those of you who study your Bible, you know that the Apostle Paul is dealing with about glorying in his infirmities and dealing with that side. And yet at the same time, the church at Corinth, there's some of them that is questioning whether he's even an apostle. That's hard to imagine. A man that helped start this church and a man that was so used of God in the way that he was with these people, that there would be anything like this to come up. And yet we've seen it before and we see it in our day and time. And this really gets to even giving because we see this a lot. There are ministers and churches, for that matter, who take advantage of God's people and misuse them and mistreat them. And that's so hard to see. You know, there's churches that'll sit there and just pass the plate around so many times until they get what they think is needed. And that's not what God's called us to do. As we've already mentioned about free will giving, as a person purposes to give, to let them give, that's between them and the Lord. And the church is to survive on whether it's much or whether it's little, and we're to carry the gospel out no matter what. And the same way with the ministers and missionaries, and I know we want to encourage, you know, support of God's people and God's church and certainly the work of God. But whatever we're given or not given, we still have a responsibility to carry on the gospel of Christ. Whether that's as a church body, whether that's a missionary, a minister, or an individual Christian, we've got to go on whatever we have and not what we have not. And we need to focus on that. I'll tell you what, the Apostle Paul mentioned about the church at Philippi being the only one to support him at the beginning. But yet he was continuing to preach the gospel whether he received more support or if he didn't. And you see that with other people in the gospel. And we've certainly seen it over the years of people going and serving the Lord and doing the best they can with whatever they have. And we need to do that as God's people. And it would be easy to complain sometimes or grumble or murmur. And maybe sometimes churches feel like, well, we got to force the people to support. We got to force the people to do these things. But that's not what God has taught. And that's not what the Bible teaches us to follow. And we certainly are not going to go against the Word of God. But everybody's going to give an account for what they do. And we certainly know that. But coming through all that, you know, the Apostle Paul here to the church at Corinth, he asked a question in verse 13. He said, "For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong." And the sarcasm there is pretty strong. And anybody ever tell you that you shouldn't ever use sarcasm? Well, the Apostle Paul did, and I can show you where Jesus did too. I think it needs to be used with wisdom, but there's a time for it. And he used it right here with the church at Corinth. And, you know, when he went there, he wanted them to make sure that they knew that he was there for them. That he was there to spread the gospel. He was there to help them. And we know how he labored for his necessities and did things to support himself to get through. And even, you know, sometimes churches would assist him. But he did everything he could to prove to these people. You're talking about a new religion going out to these Gentiles that they've never heard before. And they're not even used to the true God of the Old Testament. They've been serving all these false gods. And he's trying to go and gain their trust. And he's going to them, and he went to them, and he didn't even receive offerings of them at the beginning. It's not that he wouldn't teach on that, and we're going to go through at different times and show how he did teach where he could use that authority if he so desired, that he had that authority from God. But he didn't use it here at the beginning with this church because he wanted to prove to them that I'm here for you. I'm not here to get gain for myself. I'm here for the gospel. I'm here to point you to salvation and to help you walk close to the Lord. And again, that needs to be the attitude of a true man of God. And I know we're not living in the time of Corinth, and I know the churches have been taught about giving and different things, and we know the responsibility of churches to support their pastors and missionaries and different things. But I tell you this, the same heart that Paul showed unto Corinth needs to be in God's people. And it certainly needs to be within his ministers. That they have the attitude, I'm going to go and preach the gospel whether I receive anything or not. And I certainly appreciate the way we go in the faith way given. That's why we call ourselves Faith Way Baptist. We believe in going by faith. We don't believe in set salaries. We don't believe in, you know, when people say, well, you got to have support. Well, we do, but God provides. And if we're willing to go and we're willing to be led of the Holy Spirit, and our concern is the people, and most importantly, the work of God, which by that, you're going to care for the people of God. That's just understanding. If you're an under-shepherd, you're going to actually care for that flock. You're going to love them. You're going to put your whole heart in it, because if you care about God, you're going to care about His people. I mean, you can just go to 1 John chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and it gives some good scriptures on that. But he let it be known here, you know, that I was not burdensome to you. He said, behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Now he's looking at this from a spiritual standpoint, and as a minister of God, he looks at the people that he gets to preach to as children. He has a love and a care for them, and that love has to be there. I've heard some ministers over the years say, well, you can't be too friendly with the people. You get too friendly with them, you won't preach the truth. And I understand what some of them are trying to say, but I don't know how you preach with a burden on your heart if you don't love and care about the people. I just don't know how you do it. You got to have a love for them. Now, ultimately, above everything else, there's a love for God. And so you're going to follow Him, you're going to preach the truth, even if you're afraid that it'll hurt people, hurt their feelings. They might get upset with you. Well, you're going to say, well, I can't upset God, I can't go against Him. He's my first love. And of course, the Bible even talks about those who would forsake their first love, and our first love is the Lord. But with loving Him, we also love His people. And He says, listen, I'm not here to seek what's yours, but for you. Now, there's way too many out there in the world that go to preach to people, and their focus is what's theirs. And I know if you've paid attention over the years, you've probably seen some of this. You've not only seen it maybe through the radio waves, and I've heard of some through the television waves and different things that you can go and find over the years that, you know, it's all about the money. Oh, you know, if you send me this much money, God's going to answer this prayer for you. And you send this amount, you're going to receive some great blessing from God. And it's all about the money. And I've heard it from individual churches too. It's disturbed me over the years at times that people come to me and they'll say, this is what we're hearing at our church. And the focus is, you know, you're not giving enough and you got to give more. And listen, I believe in teaching about giving. But God's never taught us to just overbear people and overweight them. I've heard people even go to people and say, oh, you're supposed to give me this much money this month. Oh, the Lord's led me to tell you, you're supposed to sign this check over to me. Even Social Security checks from people being signed over to churches and stuff. And that's not what God's taught us to do. We're not here to overbear people. We're not here to rob people. And when that stuff is done, it does such a harm to the gospel of Christ and the truth of God's Word. And I'm thankful God never taught us to be that way. God taught us to teach people about free will giving. God taught us to teach people about purposing in their heart to give and giving of what they have and not what they have not and things of this nature. But our ultimate concern is not what they're putting in the offering plate. It's the change of heart that God is making within them. First of all, to be saved. And I've even told lost people before. I had a man ask me one time. He said, if we come to your church, what's a good amount to give? And I said, man, if you're not a member, you're not required to give a thing. I said, we don't even look for that. I said, we just want to share the gospel with you. I said, you get saved, you get on fire for God, the rest will take care of itself. But even a saved person, there's not really anything required of them. It's a free will offering. They can come to church and give nothing. And guess what? We're going to shake their hands and say, hope we see you next time. You get their heart right with God, the rest will take care of itself. And so our focus is the people and getting their heart right with God. First of all, again, through salvation in Christ, but after that, living for the Lord in their life. And the main thing we're concerned about, again, more than their giving and other things, we want to make sure that their marriage is in good shape, their relationship with their children's in good shape, they're raising their family up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they're being faithful in all things that God has called them to do. And I'll tell you what, if they're putting a pile of money in the offering plate, but they're not doing those things, our heart's in the wrong place. Because our focus is to make sure they're living for God. That's the most important sacrifice we give, is a living sacrifice unto God. Living our lives for Him. Well, they're not doing that. What's being put in the offering plate isn't benefiting them a thing. The real benefit is when we live for the Lord and we put our hearts toward the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. And he's telling this church, I'm not going to be burdensome to you. And the reason I'm not is I'm not focused on anything I can gain from you. I'm focused about what I can give unto you. I think about Peter and John going to that man that was lame. And you know, he was begging for money. They're outside the temple. And they said, silver and gold have we none. But what have I give I unto you? Things from the Lord. Listen, I hope that when we come to church, we're getting a whole lot more out of the service than we're getting into it. I hope that's kind of equal at some point in time, but I think y'all understand what I'm saying. If the Word of God is not feeding us and helping us to draw closer to God and see God working in our hearts and in our life, then money really doesn't matter, does it? And I tell you what, this is one of the qualities that I've always looked for in a man of God. Are they willing to go whether they receive anything or not? Are they willing to serve the Lord and share the gospel with people? And I tell you, especially being a part of the work that we've been blessed to be a part of, and I certainly consider it a blessing to be a part of the Faithway work and the fellowshipping churches. And we have no authority over another church. I'm thankful the way that we do our association. We're really independent Baptists that we just gather up once a year to hear from missionaries. That's what we do, to have some fellowship together. And there's some common doctrines that we believe so that we can have confidence that when a man sent out, we kind of know some of the things that he already should believe. And that just gives us confidence when they're calling for revival or calling for a pastor for a church or even supporting missionaries, that you kind of know you can have some confidence in these people because there's some basic doctrines that we agree to. But I tell you, other than that, there's a whole lot of liberty left in the church. And I'm glad that we have no authority over any other church to tell them who to support or who to call for pastor or who to call for revival or any of those things. That's all between them and the Lord. But I tell you, you always got to look for that heart, because I will say this, God doesn't want us to support things that are ungodly. And one of the things that you always look for when you're looking for either a missionary or you're looking at a pastor, you're looking at people that you want to hear preach and you want to see, there are people that are entertaining. There are people that are charismatic. There are people that may even have great intellect and can give a good speech. But I tell you what God tells us to look for is what's in their heart first and foremost. And I tell you, one of the things I look for in a minister is, does he care about lost souls and does he care about God's people? And if he does, he says, listen, I'm not concerned about what I can get out of this thing. I'm concerned about what I can give. I'm concerned about, can I be there for you? Can I help you? Can I share the Word of God with you? Can I live before you in a way that reflects Christ? And the attitude of that means everything. He said, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And notice verse 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. To me, that giving attitude, because we're talking about giving, I think a lot of times we miss out that this is a heart matter before anything else. And I believe that ministers are to lead. They're to be in samples to the flock, living examples, and they need to have a giving spirit. And that's not just a financial thing, is it? But that spend, I'll gladly spend and be spent for you. I tell you what, you find the Apostle Paul going to a whole lot of places, including places like prison, including places where he got beat, including places that he was even in danger of his life. And he still wanted to carry the gospel there, didn't he? Even when death was mentioned to him, he said, listen, these things don't move me. And the reason they didn't move him is he knew that if he let those things of the world move him, he couldn't be a blessing to the lost or even to his brothers and sisters in Christ. So he had the attitude, listen, I'll very gladly spend and be spent for you. And again, I think that needs to be the attitude of a true servant of God. To say, listen, if you need me, and I've tried to say this several times, even to lost people, if somebody wants to talk after church, I'm willing to sit and talk with you. If somebody needs me to come by their house and visit with them for a time, go over scripture with them, study things together, I need to be willing to do that. Whether it's early, whether it's late, we often even say through the radio service that we do, that we mention several times to people, I say, listen, I don't mind if you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't mind if you call me at midnight. I don't mind if you call me midday. If God can use us, I might have to sometimes call people back. I might sometimes have to, you know, tell them, listen, I've got something going on right now. I might have a service upcoming, but as soon as I can, I'm going to get back with you. That I'll gladly spend and be spent for you. And that spending is not just money. It's not just driving and gas. It's not just food. It's time. It's time. That you're willing to give of your time to people. And say, listen, you need me, you call me. I'm going to be there. And of course, you find the Apostle Paul sometimes, he taught in houses, didn't he? He went from house to house at different times, and when people had questions, when they needed some stuff, he said, listen, I'm here for you. And my goodness, you don't find him having a whole lot of free time for himself. Now, we're blessed in our day and time. Us ministers might even get spoiled in our day and time, that we have a lot more free time than probably ministers in the past have. But I tell you, it's good to spend and be spent. And it's good to have the attitude. Sometimes people, and I've probably mentioned it here before, one of my greatest pet peeves over the years that I've heard is sometimes something comes up and And somebody will tell the minister, well, we just didn't want to bother you. And you're kind of like, well, what am I here for? Not bothering me. If somebody's got a burden, a prayer request, and maybe they need some scriptures read to them, maybe they need some encouragement, maybe they're dealing with something in their life and they just need some direction from the Word of God and we can be a blessing, or somebody's sick or somebody's in the hospital, or maybe somebody's lost that they say, we don't know how to talk to them. Well, if we're able, we'll go and talk to them ourselves. If a door is open, we want to go through it. And sometimes people say, well, I didn't know if you'd go there. I didn't know if you would go to this place. I didn't know if you'd talk to this person. Or I thought you might be too busy for the Lord's work. Not truly a God-called servant if you're not willing to lay things down for the gospel of Christ. And again, these are things that we need to look to, that things that we need to support. And when we see people that are willing to spend and be spent for the people, for the gospel, these are people that need to be supported. And I tell you, there's people over the years that I've had confidence in because you watch them, you pay attention, you say, well, that person would do anything to help somebody. That person will stay late. That person will go early. That person will be there for them. And that's what the Apostle Paul was doing for the church at Corinth. Whatever they needed out of him, if it was within the realms of Scripture, right in the eyes of God, he was like, I'll do it. If you need me to come by your house, I'll be there. You need me to come to the hospital, I'll be there. You need me to go with you to visit one of your neighbors to share the gospel with, I'll be there. Just that willingness to go and that willingness to serve. And the sad thing that we see here is he said, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Oh, that's such a sad thing, and I know we've seen this too. I've actually seen it in churches where you'll have a minister that really takes advantage of the people, abuses them, and they seem to love it. And what I mean by that is they'll be the ones that tell you, well, you know, the whole offering's supposed to go towards the preacher. Y'all probably seen some of that. Take advantage of people and say, oh, God told me that I'm supposed to get a new car, so y'all going to take up enough till we get it. You hear some of these things, you see some of these things, and it just disturbs you. And yet the weird thing is a lot of times when those things done, it'll be a packed church. And yet when somebody wants to come and serve the people and just preach the truth to them and lead them in the way of God in love, they'll reject them. And that's what the Apostle Paul was dealing with. They were accepting some people that were not edifying or beneficial to the church in Christ, and they were ready to throw him aside because he was preaching the truth to them out of love. There's people that'll preach a false gospel and fill a house. And yet people that'll preach the true gospel out of love and compassion, trying to lead people away from hell, trying to lead people to Christ, trying to have the saved walk in the Lord. And people will say, oh, those words are too harsh. They did that to Jesus too, didn't they? There was a whole big crowd that left him at one time, so much that he turned to the 12 and said, will you leave me also? Let me tell you, if they leave Christ, they'll leave anybody. And I'm thankful for what Peter said. He said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. I tell you, when we see people that are unselfish, willing to give themselves to the Lord and His Word and uphold the truth and live the truth and love the people of God and serve them, I tell you, the Bible says those kind are worthy of double honor. And I feel that way myself. And there's men that I've counted worthy of double honor in my life. That you just have them on a different pedestal, not because of who they are, not because of what their name was, not because of their popularity or any other reason, but because you saw their heart dedicated towards the Lord. And it makes all the difference in the world. He said, but be it so, I did not burden you. He said, nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? Now he sent, and he's going to mention Titus, and we know Timothy and others that he had sent. Did that benefit Paul any? I mean, financially speaking, none. He said, I didn't get gain by you. I didn't use these men to lift me up or to do anything. I sent them to you because they were true in the Word of God is what the reason he sent them. He knew that he could have confidence in Titus. He knew that he could have confidence in Timothy to preach the truth. And so he sent them to these churches that they could hear the truth and be blessed. You know, I still remember when I surrendered to preach, men who opened their pulpits and allowed me to come and preach when I was just a young minister. Now, they could have been selfish. They could have said, we're not letting this young man come along, but they wanted to help me grow in the Lord. They wanted to give me opportunity. And they weren't worried if it hurt their offering or whatever. They were just concerned this man needs to get an opportunity to preach. And also the people need to hear them so they know if they can have confidence in them or not. I tell you, it meant the world to me, but I hope it meant the world to the churches that they had pastors that were not so selfish over the pulpit that they thought they were the only ones preaching the gospel, but yet showed love and compassion. I still remember coming to this church when I hadn't been preaching but maybe 6 months or so. I remember Brother Doug giving me an opportunity and getting to spend a day with him here years ago, back in 2001. I still remember that, and I was thankful for it. I tell you, it's a blessing. And Paul said, listen, I didn't get any gain off of that. That wasn't for my sake. That was for the gospel's sake. He said, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? And he turns it around, and he asks this question. He said, now when I sent Titus, did he make a gain of you? He said, walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? And what he's saying is, when Titus came and preached there at Corinth, he had the same mindset as the Apostle Paul. I want these people to know that I'm here for them. And not for something I could gain off of them. I tell you, that heart means the world. And I'll say this while I'm on the subject with the way that we go by. You wouldn't believe how many questions I've gotten over the years. And I know other ministers and probably even people that you've talked to that ask questions about church. They'll say, well, how does the preacher make it on that free will offering? Oh, he can't make it. You know, they do. And I'll tell you what, a lot of our missionaries over the years have been able to accomplish a lot of work too, going by free will. There's a lot of good work going on. I'll tell you, there needs to be more, and there needs to be a good, people paying attention that they know when there's somebody in need or a work that's in need. But I tell you, we have our hearts in the right place. There's no limitation of what can be done. And I try to make this statement often because it's taught in the Scripture. We need to pray that the Lord send more laborers into the field. Some people say, oh, there's more preachers. You know, some of them preachers going to just be preaching at one church. Because we do have some preachers that are doubling churches, but we do that because we don't have enough to go around. It's not because the preachers want to. I'm not going to call a man's name out, but I was sitting with a minister who was pastoring two good-sized churches, and he made the statement to me. He said, I pray that God will send more laborers. He said, I'd love to just focus on one church every Sunday and just be able to give focus to these people. But at the same time, you can't just watch people go without a preacher. And you could see in that man's heart, his heart wasn't in gain for himself. His heart was the work of God. And I know there's a lot that way, and I've even made the statement, Somebody said, you know, there's more missionaries that surrender. Some of y'all going to lose some support on the mission field. I tell you what, if we're seeing that many surrender, there's going to be souls saved, there's going to be new churches started, and God will take care of all that. And I'll tell you what, it's never hurt me to mow yards, and it's never hurt me to do some carpentry work or different work if I had to take care of some things. God can take care of things in its right place. If we have our heart set on the things of God and our heart given unto Him, God can take care of all that. And I remember years ago, I went to a church that was not within our work, but certainly gave us an opportunity. And I was actually put up for pastor at that church. And they asked me a question. They said, how much do you need if you come here to pastor? I said, let me do you a favor. I said, let me take that worry all off of you. I said, y'all put a little plate up at the front. And I said, whatever y'all take up, I said, that's what I'll receive. And one man tried to talk to me privately, and he said, you know, preacher, you might not get but $20 if that's what we did. And I said, I'll come and preach to you no matter what. I said, if it's less than that, I'll still come and preach to you the same. And he had a big smile come over his face. And I think the smile came because he understood I wasn't there for me. I was there for the gospel. And I tell you, the reason that I felt that way is because I'd seen that same attitude in other men over the years. And they had taught me by example that it's not about you, it's not about what you get. It's about whether the people are being fed. And if that's in its proper place, things will take care of itself over time. God will see to it. He said in verse 19, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Now that's what I love to see in a God-called minister. And I tell you, when I see that, I love to support it. Whether it's my pastor, whether it's a missionary, whatever it is, when you see people that are given to the edifying of the body, I tell you what, that puts it within you. Because I think when you're talking about giving, the number one thing you've got to look at is the main sacrifice we're giving is ourselves unto the Lord. And if that's not seen from the pulpit out, everything else that the church does is going to fail. I tell you, sometimes we get excited even about lost souls, don't we? And we, you know, I've heard some churches, well, we got to set a goal. We're going to see 10 saved. We're going to see 20 saved, 100 saved, all these other things from different places. We're going to see this many saved. Listen, let me tell you what it needs to be. I'm concerned about one soul trusting Christ. You say, preacher, you're only concerned about one person getting saved? That's not what I said. But I tell you what, which soul is more important than the other? I've never found that. Some people say, well, it'd be great if this person over here would get saved. Well, what's the difference between that person and another person? And listen, I understand that with parents, sometimes they say, oh, I want my children to be saved. I will understand that. As a parent myself, trust me, there's no greater desire in my life than to see my children, when the Lord deals with them, that they trust in Christ. There's nothing more important to me. But I tell you what, I need to be concerned about other people's children just as much as I am my own. And somebody says, we want this person to love and serve the Lord. This person needs to grow. How is one member of the church more important than another member? I haven't found that in Scripture, have you? The only way we edify the body is we want the Word of God to have its free course. And I tell you what, when the Lord burdens me to preach about lost souls, I'm not concerned about which one is hearing the message. I know that God knows who He needs to deal with, and all I need to do is preach the message. And I need to preach it to whosoever will. And when we preach about people being growing up in the Lord, I don't need to focus on one member or another. I need to preach whatever God lays upon my heart. And I tell you what, I've been amazed over the years at how God works on people. Sometimes I think this person's not even paying attention, and yet they're the ones that are moved by the Word of God. And sometimes you think, oh, this message is for this person over here. And then it's somebody totally different that gets a blessing out of it. God knows what's needed. And I tell you, when God's people are no respecter of persons, but they're concerned about the edifying of those that are saved and the salvation of those that are lost, without respect to persons, great things can be accomplished. And that attitude needs to be from the pulpit out. It needs to be shown that we love the Lord, that we're concerned about God, we're concerned about His people, we're concerned about lost souls, and that we're willing to pay whatever price is needed on our part that they could be saved. It might never be asked of us to be thrown into a prison cell so that we can share the gospel with somebody like Paul and Silas was. We might never be asked like Peter and John to be beaten and then thrown back out and go back out and preach the gospel. We might never have to face that. But I tell you, we need to have the same attitude that they had. We need to have the same heart, the same willingness to go. And I tell you, people are going, well, what are you going to get out of this? We need to understand serving God is its own reward. Having a pure conscience between us and God. And we know that if we have that, we're laying up treasure in heaven. People say, well, how much is that? I have no idea. But this much I know, the things of God and the rewards of God are far greater than whatever this world has to offer. That's the reason that Moses even carried on. He esteemed the riches, the reproaches of Christ, greater riches than all that gold that was in Egypt. And I tell you, we need to have that same burden, that same heart. And the reason that God has burdened us with this is show us a heart of giving. And that giving, again, is not just about financial giving. It's about willingness to give your time to people. It's about a willingness to go. It's about a willingness to be spent. It's about a willingness to be available. And our living sacrifice unto God needs to be that. And we get that in its right place. I tell you, the other things will fall right where they need to. They'll fall right into line when our heart is given unto the Lord and unto His work. And whether we have little or whether we have much, we'll continue to carry out the gospel of Christ. And I'll remind you of this, in some of the greatest times that God's Word has ever spread in this world has been in times when the church was in poverty. Some people think, oh, we got to have all this money, we got to have this. And listen, I know support, and I know, and we try to teach on those things in their proper place. But I tell you what, if we didn't have a dime to give, we still need to have a burden to give from our hearts and with our time and our energy. We still have something to give unto the Lord. And we need to give like that. We need to give from our heart unto the Lord. And if the heart's in the right place, everything else will take care of itself. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come while I have a verse of a song.